Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Revelation 12 and 10 says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." My subject today is the secret powers of an overcomer. The secret powers of an overcomer. First of all, it mentions the blood. My friend, this is not just blood loss on the cross. This is a bloodline flowing through time. This is blood that washes away wickedness. If you want to get rid of the wickedness of this world, if you want to get rid of the intimidation of darkness, if you want to get rid of the corruption of the past, if you want to defeat the king of darkness, if you want to get beyond the things that emerge out of the dark caves of sinful imaginations, if you want to get beyond the dominion of the night and of sinfulness and iniquity and lawlessness, if you want to get beyond all these things that seek to seduce you, seek to make you insensitive and sarcastic to the things of God, then you've got to have the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, the cheap detergents of human reasoning cannot remove sin stains. It cannot remove the blemishes of lawlessness. Corrupt cleaners only add more to the deep ruin of society. Unholy institutions that appear to have a good cause, but reject the Bible, act like they are disinfectants to injustices, but they end up only infecting with more hate, anger, vindictiveness, rage, and destructive behaviors. Now, when I did a little research on detergents, I found out that these are primarily what's called surfactants, which could be produced easily from petrochemicals. I know that's a mouthful, but just stay with me. Surfactants lower the surface tension of water, essentially making it wetter so that it is less likely to stick to itself and more likely to interact with oil and grease. Neither detergents nor soaps accomplish anything, listen closely, except binding to the soil until some mechanical energy or agitation is added into the equation. Swishing the soapy water around allows the soap or the detergent to pull the grime away from clothes or dishes and into the larger pool of rinse water. Rinsing washes the detergent and the soil away. Now think about how the Word of God says we are clean through His Word. That's because the blood of Jesus is in His Word. It's in His name. The power of the blood has not been diminished in this hour. You may have the soil of sin so deep in your life, but I want you to know that God's blood is better than any detergent to bind itself to the soil and the sin and the iniquity and the transgression of your past. And through the waters of baptism, it's going to get it out. Now listen to this. Like soaps, detergent have hydrophobic, I know there's another one of those words, or water-hating molecular chains, and hydrophilic or water-loving components. So these two things are in the same molecule. The hydrophobic hydrocarbons are repelled by water, but are attracted to oil and grease. The hydrophilic end of the same molecule means that one end of the molecule will be attracted to the water while the other side is binding to the oil. Now think about that from a spiritual standpoint, from the power of the blood cleansing away sin in your life, washing away the wickedness and the failures and the dominion of darkness in your life and your past. Notice that the fact that the water and the oil in this sense are actually working together. One end of this cleansing detergent is drawn to water. The other end is drawn to the oil. So you see, in a spiritual way, a sinner is drawn to the water for baptism, and then he is bound to oil. It is that binding process to the oil when he receives the Holy Ghost. Water is baptism cleansing. Oil is Holy Ghost empowerment. So in other words, the blood of Jesus is like a detergent of deliverance. It draws you to water for regeneration, and then it also gives you the oil of anointing for the Holy Ghost. This is the power. This is the spiritual molecular structure of mercy that's everlasting, and his truth that endureth to every generation. Oh, to be washed by the blood of the Lamb, to be cleaned, to walk around knowing that the filth of the flesh and the sins of the past no longer have dominion over us. Now listen to what John 16 says. Verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Now, before I get to the word reprove in 16 and 8, let me remind you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin is what we do wrong. It's missing the mark. It's off. It's inaccurate. It's got error in it. It's based on human reasoning and leaves behind heavenly interpretations and instructions of life. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't look right. Secondly, righteousness in this context is what we do right. It's our actions, our attitudes, our desires, our disciplines. And the judgment in this context is what God makes right. Justice, the sentencing, how he is the fairest of all to look at every situation. He doesn't treat anybody in a stereotypical fashion, yet he is no respecter of persons. We all come to God on a case-by-case, cross-by-cross, if you will, situation. And when he looks at us, he loves us. He wants us to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So sin is what we do wrong. Righteousness is what we do right. Judgment is what God makes right. Now, look at this word reprove. This word reprove means to expose. It means to bring to light. It means to set forth. So the Spirit of God in us through the blood of the Lamb. Remember now, we're talking about this first secret power of an overcomer. It's the blood of Jesus. And when he comes into our lives, he comes to reprove. He comes to bring revelation. He comes to expose. He brings light to us. So this led me to research of this thing known as luminol chemiluminescence. Now, I know, again, there's another one of those big scientific words, but just stay with me. This is a powerful analogy. The luminol chemiluminescence reaction is responsible for the glow of light sticks. The reaction is used by criminalists to detect traces of blood at crime scenes. In this test, luminol powder is mixed with hydrogen peroxide and a hydroxide in a spray bottle. And maybe you've seen this sometime in some show. And this luminol solution is sprayed where blood might be found. The iron from the hemoglobin in the blood serves as a catalyst for the chemiluminescence reaction that causes luminol to glow. So a blue glow is produced when the solution is sprayed where there is blood. And it only takes a tiny amount of iron. My friend, this is incredible. I mean, you've probably seen this maybe in some show or documentary where they're going in and they're doing an investigation in a house or at the scene of a crime, and they turn off the lights and they spray this stuff out of a bottle, and then they shine a light on it, a blue light on it. There it is. You see the blood patterns begin to light up. My friend, I want to tell you that the light of truth always finds the blood. Now, on the negative side, if you're a murderer, it's going to find you out. If you're a deceiver, it will find you out. If you're trampling through the night, sowing discord among the brethren, and shedding innocent blood with your two-faced, manipulative, hidden agenda lies, it will find you out. But on the other hand, in a more positive sense, it will also reveal those that are covered in the blood of the Lamb. If the world wanted to do a luminol test on those in the church, may we all be exposed. May they say they're covered in the blood, guilty of being a Jesus lover, guilty of spreading this cleansing blood everywhere, guilty of being a one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy rolling, born-again, heaven-bound believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name. Now think of this. There's also discernment in this. Again, we're still talking about this secret power of the blood. Because my friend, when the light is turned on, when spiritual discernment comes, God sees those who are covered in the blood. He sees those whose sins have been washed away. And it is a power against every prosecuting case of hell to drag you back into the dungeons of darkness. Discernment, my friend, we've got to have it. It's a gift of the Spirit. It is a spiritual characteristic that we need in the church. It allows you to see things that usually are not visible to the human eye. It's spiritual vision. It works like an X-ray, if you will, penetrating into the body of Christ and detecting things that could be harmful. Oh, that God would give us spiritual discernment through the power of the blood so that things can be seen and things can be understood and things can be righteously perceived. Now, the second thing here that's mentioned in the book of Revelation as a power of the overcomer is their testimony. It is a consecrated testimony. It's a committed testimony. It's a collective testimony because it says they overcame him by the power of their testimony. So it's consecrated because it was dipped in blood, empowered by the Spirit, and grown like a sacred tree planted by the rivers of water. You see, a testimony is based on what you see. And in this case, it's the witness of his resurrection. And it cannot be objected to in the court of the Almighty because the one sitting on the judge's seat is the one that was raised from the dead. This testimony speaks of angels' wings shrouding the mercy seat in the Old Testament tabernacle. It speaks of the holy lid covering the God-authored commandments, the miracle rod of Aaron that budded in the golden pot of manna. This testimony of the Old Testament proved God's presence among the Israelites. It served notice to heathen enemies that the highest power of eternity resided with his people. It summoned fire for sacrificial approval. It received the sprinkled blood of annual atonement. It was more than an ornate golden cherubim engraved piece of furniture sitting behind a curtain. It was the essence of the Almighty who rules the universe. Well, think about it now. That testimony is not now in the Ark of the Covenant, but it's in the church of blood-washed saints. That testimony was the evidence of life after death, the evidence of manna and the Word of God that every child of God reads and quotes and lives and prays. It's the evidence that is in the apostolic ministry that for over 2,000 years has been chasing devils and poisonous serpents of darkness back to the hell pits from which they emerged. This evidence in the testimony is that true spirit of prophecy that flows through the church. D.K. Stewart, in his commentary on Exodus, says, and I quote, "The Hebrew word employed here for the special gold slab adorned with cherubim statuary," and of course now this is describing the Ark of the Covenant in the book of Exodus. He goes on to say, "This was placed atop the Ark." It is the Hebrew word kaporech. And it is also from a root word that refers in various ways to the concept of atonement or reconciliation, the process of causing people to be true friends, allies, or kin, and not to be distant, hostile, or at odds. Now think about this. When I'm in the seat as a witness, the devil cannot incriminate me because it's the zone of forgiveness. It's the region of redemption. It's an area where the adversary cannot mess with you. And now look a little bit deeper here. Now we're talking about the mercy seat here from Exodus. If the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant was covered by angels' wings, and that seat was for Jesus. Now, J.I. Durham, in his commentary on the book of Exodus, states, the cherubs have usually been connected with Jehovah's throne, both as guardians and as bearers. Then again, D.K. Stewart writes in his book on Exodus, their wings were raised so as to overshadow the atonement cover, providing a kind of symbolic partial enclosure that protected the surface. N.D. Osborne's commentary on Exodus confirms, quote, overshadowing the mercy seat with their wings means that the wings of the two cherubim are to cover the lid in a protective way, end quote. So now, if these angels' wings were to cover the seat that was for Jesus, think about this. Jesus again said, Matthew 18:20, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Then when we lift our hands to worship, we are the wings. The angels, as we noticed here in the educational research and some of these commentaries, they were the wings of protection. But we, in the New Testament, in the church age, in the grace hour, we are the wings of praise. Now think about this. Isaiah 40:31 says, they that wait upon the Lord, what do we get according to Isaiah? Eagle's wings, because we're given wings to soar in praise. We lift our hands like the angels lifted their wings, but we surround the mercy seat not with protection. We surround it with praise. Now, these wings of the angels could have also indicated privacy. And that means that there was something going on here that only atoning blood, only those with the appropriate testimony could interpret. Don't come into the church of the living God without His Spirit and try to interpret what's going on. Don't come into the house of God and witness what's going on around you, the excitement of the people of God and their shouting and their worshiping, and mock it and be critical of it and be cynical toward it, because if you've never tasted to see that the Lord is good, you don't understand what's going on in this intimate setting. You've got to get beyond the shadow of human understanding and step into the Holy of Holies, and the only way you get there is you've got to get the Holy Ghost, because what was in the Holy of Holies as a tabernacle of Moses is what is in the church as the body of Christ. Jeremiah 31:33 said, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now here's one of the secrets of their testimony. It goes on in verse 34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity. I will remember their sin no more. Someday they know there'll be no more trouble. They know there will be no more transgression. They know that there will only be His testimony. Everything else will be gone but His testimony. It's kind of like walking into a courtroom and it looks like everything's going towards the prosecutor's case. And here comes that one defense witness. And when he gets on that witness stand, his testimony, it erases and eradicates and eliminates every testimony that was against a particular individual. And that's the way it is with the testimony of Jesus. Every lie, every deception, everything working in the mystery of iniquity is going to come to an end. And the only thing left in the courtroom of God is going to be the testimony of Jesus Christ. Talk about the ultimate I told you so. It's going to come from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, another point here is that mercy is above law. Mercy covers law. And when mercy is not above law, the angels are gone. Justice only works when mercy is above judgment. This doesn't negate judgment. It delays it. So an alternative can be found. And in this case, Jesus was the substitute. If there is no mercy, judgment doesn't delay. Fires of condemnation cannot be quenched or contained. My friend, we're living in an America that needs mercy. We are living in an America that needs angels' wings, that needs an alternative to judgment that destroys. We need the blood of Jesus to cover us. Otherwise, we're going to go from one death to another because God's judgment requires death. Now think about this. Watch what Jesus says in John 8:23. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. That word above in that text means upward or on the top. Notice the combination of I am with from above. In other words, he is the same presence that was on the mercy seat, above, on top of, covering, creating a lid for the law. Jesus is above the law because he engages with man through mercy. I can touch him in the New Testament as mercy, but we could never touch him as the lawgiver. It's like in case fire giving off heat. We can get near the heat source as long as the protective shield or covering or conductor is there. But remove the shield or the covering and the fire would burn us. Jesus came as God manifested in the flesh. And God is a consuming fire, according to Hebrews. He covered the heat source of his holiness with a human body, the man Christ Jesus. But if you take the covering off, God's justice and wrath is there, my friend. Some want an empty Jesus. Pull back the covering and you have the false doctrine of freedom to sin. Peel back the covering and you have another Jesus that Paul alluded to that has no power over sin or becomes merely a weakened, urbanized, hippie, long-haired version of free love, do what you want, easy believism. That Jesus won't save you because that Jesus is false. That Jesus is not covering anything. It's a hollow hope. It's a counterfeit impersonator. If you have the real thing, then there is a fire beneath the covering. There is law beneath the mercy. And so I take the last few moments here to discuss the third thing that is not generally mentioned. We talk about the power of the blood and the word of a testimony, but it also says they love not their lives unto death. That third thing, that third power of an overcomer is selflessness. John 15:21 said, but all these things, talking about persecution in the last days, they're going to do to you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. I want you to notice that in the end time, we're not mostly hated because of our skin's sake, but for his name's sake. The greatest prejudice before the coming of the Lord will be the world against the word, the unbeliever against the baptized, the unholy against the Holy Ghost sanctified. Because friend, God is bringing together a church from every tribe, every kindred, every tongue, every nationality, every race. And it's going to be the most powerful thing. And we're a part of that. So the greatest persecution is going to come from an Antichrist generation that's going to globally come together against the people of the name. And we're going to see this played out to the very end. We're going to see it if the rapture takes place before the tribulation, as I believe it will. Then it's going to take place especially on those in the tribulation that follow the word of the 144,000 Jesus name evangelists that God's going to raise up in the land of Israel. But we don't have time to talk about that right now. But I want you to know you can be an overcomer today by the blood of Jesus, by the word of a testimony, and by selflessness. Take up your cross and follow Jesus today. Don't be ashamed of who he is. And take on that name that will deliver you from shame, no matter what you've been through. in Jesus' name.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath. In a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.